changes for our church this year, but one of the big changes that we're excited about is we felt toward the end of last year as a staff that it was time for our church to start expanding our mission focus. So we've been really focused with the Vietnam mission and with our Easter offering going to the Vietnam mission, but this year we're going to expand it. And so I personally met with numerous foreign mission organizations, their directors, their local people who were here, had meetings with them on the phone plus face-to-face, and we talked about it among staff, looked up research, did background checks, did everything we could. But during that two or three or four-month process, really felt the Holy Spirit telling us, it's time for us to link up with the Vineyard Ministry. And so we connected, and we're beginning to connect. Today is really the very first. This is the start of a brand new chapter for our church. So I'm really excited you guys are here, because we felt God said for us to join up with the Brazil Vineyard Mission and to start working with them with church planting. And then also they have a part of their mission program. They provide water conditioners, or water filters, actually. It's water filters for the people along the Amazon. And so we're going to be allowing on our Easter offering, you can buy a water conditioner for your offering, or you can buy a wheelchair, or you could buy 10 of each. That's what you really want to do. And we want to see another awesome. I really have been praying and fasting that this year's Easter offering really goes over the charts, just really blows us away, and that we're able to really see us start expanding the mission program, not just Vietnam, but now Brazil. And then we're also praying about developing a team. So starting today, we'll be challenging you. And if you have questions after the service today, we'll have an interest lunch, and it'll be right up in the community room. You're more than welcome to come. We'll have just lunch together. We'll have some Q&A. I'll be handing out some information to give you a heads up. We'll be sending a team in 2018, probably February or March. And part of the project of the team will be going along the Amazon, working with the churches there, distributing these water filters, and just working with the ministry there. So really, really exciting opportunity. This is going to be really exciting. So I'm so blessed, because once we decided we were going to join up with the Brazilian Vineyards, I was working with our statewide rep, Danny Meyer, who's up in Sunbury. He contacted me and said the national directors for the entire country of Brazil will be in Columbus during the month of January. So it just so happened that they're in town. So I contacted them and asked them if they would like to come and speak to us today about what they're doing, what's going on, and just share about the ministry. So I'm really excited, because this, again, start of a brand new chapter for us as a church. I promise you 5, 10, 15 years from now, we'll be looking back and we'll be talking about, wow, man, it has been an awesome run. So would you welcome the national directors for the Brazilian Vineyard, Steve and Elba Dolan. They've brought their family here. They've also got some guests. I guess it's his sister and her husband right there. Raise your hand. Good to have you folks here with us this morning. So I'm going to turn it over to you, Steve.
Well, I can't tell you how grateful we are for your very, very warm welcome, especially now that I've actually grew up in Columbus, and what I found through the last 14 years serving in Brazil is that my blood has very much thinned out. And so I really want to thank you so much, and I really want to thank you so much, Pastor Dave. He called, I tell you, this for you guys to come on board with the Xingu Mission and the Brazil National Movement is an answer to lots of prayers. And to come alongside the Water Filter Project, which was crippling along, is something is really God-ordained. You guys are going to make a big impact for the people there on the Amazon along the Xingu River by not only evangelizing them, but you're going to be participating in something that's very important to their health care. And I just want to thank you so much. This is amazing. So thank you.
Excited to be a part of it.
Amen.
All right. Thank you. You can go with that now. Bom dia. Tudo bem? Que legal, tem alguém falando português? Fala português aqui. Well, it is so good to be here. These are those amazing things that God just, only Him can put together. And He brings us together, and it's just exciting to see a church who is really passionate about getting out of the building and just going further the kingdom of God through other places. So as David said, I am a Brazilian. So Brazilians don't play game. I have Indian blood. So we're going to go straight to the point today. And I hope I'm not going to cause any confusion. I already advised Dave that he might have some problems after I leave. And it's okay, because he has to deal with that. So I would like to share with you today something that I am very passionate about. It's actually my life. And I believe that is our job. Our job is to be a missionary people. People who received from God a mission. And we're running with it, with him, looking to what he's doing and joining him. Like you're doing. God's doing some amazing things, saving people in the Amazon basin. And you were looking for things that you wanted to see the Father doing and you wanted to join. And this is just very exciting. So I'm not going to read through the verse, but if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 67. And we're going to see four things, and I guarantee you, I rehearsed with my husband, we will be done in 2 hours. It's okay. So Psalm 67, we're going to see four things very quick, which is the fact of the mission. We're going to see the character, how we do it, and we're going to see what's our motivation to do what we do, and what's our consolation, because it's not always so easy. So in verses 1 and 2, it says, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So the first two verses, he joins the blessing of Aaron with the promise Abraham. And he's saying, I'm going to bless you so you can be a blessing. It's kind of hard because a lot of people, especially in Brazil, I don't know so much about American culture, people want blessing, but they don't want to share blessing. They want to be blessed, but they don't want to get out of their way in their comfort zone and be a blessing. And Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me too, for something. So every time we see blessing on the Bible, it comes with a mission. We're not just blessed to be blessed and be happy and just live this happy Christian life. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? So he has anointed me for a mission, for something. And then later on, Jesus came to the disciple. And on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter, he got up and he preached a sermon. And he told the first church who the gospel, who the message of salvation was for. What the message of the gospel, to whom the church was. And here's what he says in Acts 2:39. The promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And the tendency of pretty much all human beings and virtually all churches to live within. We like the first part of the verse that says the church, the promise is for us and for our children. And a lot of people, you know, believe that at least the reason the church exists is for us, to meet our needs, to help us solve our marriage problems, to heal our wounds, to minister to our pain, to encourage discipleship. And it's true. It's the church is for that. But if we stop there, then we're just going on half of what the church is for. We can't stop there. It is for us. And most of the times, we are always saying, what about me? What about my needs? What about my children? What about my marriage? Well, the church is not doing this for me, and I don't feel happy there because of this. The church is not supposed to make you happy. The church is also for those who are far away from the grace of God. We can't just leave one part and leave the other one out. We got to live the whole thing. So I don't know here, but usually, I mean, even in my country, if you ask people today, what is your job as a believer? What is your job description as a follower of Christ? What are you supposed to do? And you're going to hear things like this. Well, you know, I think my job is to be a good person, is to go to church every Sunday. That's what a Christian does. It's to eat a piece of bread and drink a little bit of grape juice once a month. You know, give a little bit of money or, you know, for offering or do something good because we should do something good, right? So, and I don't know when about you, but when I hear about these things, I actually get mad because that's not the job. That's not our job description. That's not in the Bible. And when you hear those things, you think to yourself, you go, my gosh, is that why Jesus was hanging on a cross? So that we could give a little bit of money? So that we could clean up ourselves a little bit and try to behave better? I don't believe so. And the Bible says, 1 Colossians, if you take the time to read, the Apostle Paul, he gives us a description of God's mission in the world. And he says that God is reconciling through Christ all things that were broken by sin. He's reconciling, coming under the lordship of Christ. And then Jesus comes to the disciples right before he ascends and he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And now I give it to you. I'm passing on to you. Go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. This is what we're supposed to do. You want to know your job description? It's right here. That's what we're supposed to do. So the mission is a fact. And the mission was commissioned to the church. How do we do this? What is the character of this mission? The text, we learn three ways that we're supposed to do the mission of God. Number one is sharing the truth. By grace we were saved. Faith comes by hearing. And the whole world is going to hear if we actually open our mouth and talk about it. And share it. And that's what Jesus said, go into all the world, preach with words, with deeds, preach the gospel to all creation. But sadly, I find that a great majority of the believers or the Christians have neglected this aspect of sharing the faith, sharing your faith, sharing the truth. And you know, the first century church understood this really well. Every believer saw themselves as missionaries. There was no such a thing as paid missionaries. Every believer saw themselves as missionaries. To be a Christian meant to share your faith. That was the meaning. They understood it and they did. How did they do it? I mean, these men were not educated. They were not sophisticated. They didn't have money. They didn't have theological degrees. Actually, they had no authority. They were not in positions of authority. And even worse, these men were persecuted, marginalized. And yet, they revolutionized the world with the message of salvation. How did they do that? Well, it's simple. They obeyed. They did what they were told to do. Amen? They did what they were told to do. What did they have? No power, no money. They had an experience with Christ that completely changed their lives. They had the desire to obey, and they had the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all a believer needs. And we have all that, don't we? Yes, we do. We have all that. Well, we lack something. We lack obedience. We lack obedience. And the Bible says that the day at Pentecost, they went home. I want you to listen to this, because there is something out there, a belief out there, that those people who are supposed to do these things are the paid missionaries or the paid pastors in the church. They went home. They went back to their normal lives. They went back to their job. They went back to their routine. Yet, the gospel was spread to the whole world. Because when they went back, they told their families, their friends, their co-workers, they share the good news of Christ. The good news of salvation. And every believer saw themselves as missionary. God called people back to them. He's calling us today. Ordinary people. Just like us, who have nothing, but at the same time has everything. But our problem is obedience. One of the greatest problems we face today is obedience. The main task of a disciple is to make disciples. Dozens become hundreds and hundreds become thousands. Simply because the believers obeyed the command of Jesus to make disciples. And the church today must do the same. You know, it is sad that the process of evangelism and disciple-making has become an action practiced by ordained ministers. And the rest of the body come to church once a week and attend a church service. It is really sad that this is going on. The mission of God was not a responsibility of a small group of people who have the privilege to do that, or those who feel like they're called to the mission field. Everyone, Peter says, the Apostle Peter says, everyone is called to declare the praises of him who brought us out of darkness into his wonderful light. All of us are called to declare the praises. Everyone. There is a missiologist who says that for Christ, his called ones is actually what it means, the church are his sent ones. We're called and we were sent. I hear people saying sometimes, you know what? I would like to have more time to serve God, but my job doesn't allow. And I think to myself, if you are not serving God through your job, then who are you serving? If you are not serving God in your workplace, then who are you serving? Because God put us there for a reason. As believers, we're not just whoever. We live under a God-given mission, no matter where we are. We're called to share our faith. We're called to make disciples. Your work is part of your God's mission and God's work in this earth. Can I hear an amen? So we need to stop thinking that only missionaries or pastors are supposed to go out there, witness, evangelize, and make disciples. God has gifted each and every one of us, and he has placed us exactly where we need to be. And it has been said over and over again that the problem is not that the Christian aren't where they're supposed to be. The problem is that the Christian are not being who they're supposed to be where they are. That's the problem. See, the understanding of your vocation, your gift is as a God-given mission that he gave so that his name can be glorified through your life, through the exercise of your vocation. It really changed the way we see life and everything. It really changed the way we look at everyone and everything. It gives an everyday work a spiritual significance. To everything we do, it gives a spiritual significance under God. It's actually a powerful force to transform society, because the church doesn't have a missionary in Brazil or Uganda, Africa. The church has hundreds of missionaries in Columbus, Ohio. The church has hundreds of missionaries spread every day through society. And where they are, they're sharing the good news. Wouldn't that be so powerful if we lived that way? Wouldn't this community be different if we lived that way? Well, that's what we're called to do. We can do it because we have an experience with Jesus and we have the power of the Holy Spirit. But if the call is for everyone, the call is for everybody, for everyone who enter the church, who enter this life with Jesus through the baptism. Why is only a handful of people doing it? I love a church planting movement. They use the analogy of an elephant and rabbits. Do you know the difference? Here's what they say. The problem is that the church is full of elephants and a few rabbits. And here's the analogy. If you put two elephants in a room like this for 22 months, maybe at the end they're going to have a baby elephant. But if you put two rabbits, in 22 months, you're going to have thousands of little rabbits. So what they're saying is, you and me need to stop being more like elephants and become more like rabbits. We can do it, can't we? Yes. We need to be more like rabbits. We need to multiply. We need to share. We need to help people understand this amazing life that Jesus died on a cross to give it to them. So, why do we need to be more like rabbits and not elephants? You see, an elephant believer is that person, and now some of you might get mad at me, and I don't care, that maybe in 22 months, we'll bring someone with them to church. We'll invite a friend to come to church. We'll share a testimony. Maybe. And some of them never do. They're stare. They never have babies. They never help anyone come to the faith. They never help anyone grow in their faith. They never bring anyone to know Christ. They come to church. They eat, receive, get fat of blessings, and never share with anybody. And those Christians, I call them big head and small hands. They know too much, they think too much, they analyze too much. Oh my gosh, you can talk about the Great Commission and analyze everything, and they know everything, but they don't do anything with what they know. What does that serve you? Or this nation, or the people? If we know and if we have this golden thing, this amazing thing, this powerful message, but we don't share. But the rabbit believer is different. He's under a mission. Every person he meets is thinking, how can I bring Jesus into this picture? How can I invite them? Lord, give me an opportunity. Give me a word of knowledge. Come with me. And he's always thinking, he's always being intentional about who we are and what we're supposed to do, no matter where we are. We carry the message. We carry this powerful message that can transform people, transform community, transform society. Our problem is obedience. You know, I have people who say to me, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I do. I mean, I understand. I think it's beautiful what you do. But I believe that, you know, there's like different ways. I mean, you guys who have a call to the mission field are kind of way up here. And there's the people who are called to stay here. And there's some of us that are called to kind of be in the middle. Is that in the Bible? The Bible talks about two ways. There's the narrow way, and there's the wide way. There's no middle ground. There's no middle. You either walk in one or you're walking the other one. So there's no such a thing when it comes to sharing our faith that this is a gift that God gives to some people and others are not supposed to do it. It's for all of us. All of us who came into a relationship with Jesus are called to do, to make disciples. In our own way, with our own gifts, our own personalities, our own way to approach people, God, we're called to do that. Why? Charles Spurgeon says that evangelism is a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. It's someone who is willing to say, you know what, my life is not perfect, but I've met someone who is transforming me daily. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen? Sharing the truth is the first aspect of the mission that is being and has been neglected by many believers. How do we do that? See, the church cannot say, we can't say that we're followers of Jesus. Honestly, we can't say that we are followers of Jesus and do not do what he has asked us to do. Blatantly disobey the call to make disciples. We can't say that. John, 1 John 2, 6, he says, whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. How did he do it? How did Jesus do it? He met people. He fed the hungry. He set the captives free. He healed the sick. He did all that. And that leads us to our second aspect of the mission, that is doing justice. Our joy does not come from knowing that in Jesus we're saved, that in Jesus our sins are forgiven, but also to know that one day God will wipe out every tear, that he will fix all and every unrighteousness, every disease, every kind of poverty. And that's why, as a sign of the coming kingdom, we give people clean water. Because in heaven there is clean water. That's why, as a sign of the kingdom to come, we pray for people to get healing. We feed those who are hungry. Because that's what we're called to do. We're called to walk as Jesus did. And one of the ways that, as a church and the mission, we have done this is through our nonprofit organization called CDR, Center for Regional Development. 20 years ago, when we planted the first church in Altamira, the Lord spoke to us and he said that we were supposed to be a church for the community and not a church in the community. Do you know the difference? And as we started serving the people, we started encountering many forms of poverty, lack of education, health, lack of food. And we started praying and looking for ways, practical ways, to give people an opportunity of life, not just eternal life, but quality of life, an opportunity to break the cycle of poverty and restore in them dignity. Throughout the years, we have developed several ways to do that, through English classes, computer classes, enabling people, teach them to get a job, reading and writing classes. Many people don't go to school. They don't have the money to go. Music school, soccer school, dance class, dental treatment, and so many others. And one of our projects that is really, literally saving lives is the water filter project. Last November, our team left for Tel for to do a 6 days water filter install. And they came to this house of this man named Francisco. So as you saw in the video, people live on stilt houses and the water is really dirty. So that's our boat over there. That's a community. And that first building is actually our church building in that community. And they were received or welcomed by this man, a community leader. So Francisco, he's 68 years old. And he was so happy to receive a water filter. And as they were installing the filter, he started sharing his story. Like he suffered for so many waterborne diseases his whole life. And actually, just before our team came in, his two girls, got really sick. They had to take them to the city, and they were put in the hospital for 19 days. And the doctor told him bluntly that their kids were sick from drinking contaminated water. And usually when this family and the community have to go to the city, that is very expensive for them. And most of them, especially in his community, they farm manioc. That's where they get their money from. And having to go to the city It stops every income because they're not able to produce manioc. So Seu Francisco said to them that one of the things that makes him really sad is when the kids come back from school, they have this boat who takes the kids to school and bring them back, that they drink water from the edges of the river because they're thirsty and there's no other water. And most of these kids, they get really sick, and a lot of babies die from diarrhea and intestinal infections, which is big in this community. Most of them really have really bad waterborne diseases and intestinal infection. It's very common. You pretty much find that in every house you walk to. So Seu Francisco was very, very happy, very thankful for the water filter project, because now they were going to drink clean water. And very, very grateful for the gift to have clean water. And that's something that most of us just take for granted. Isn't that right? So the water filter is really saving lives, and we are just so excited. Like my husband said in the beginning, that this church felt from the Lord to join us and save people. And what happens is this project is not just giving people clean water. We are giving them clean water. We're giving them quality of life. But also, as we worth them, we share the gospel. And they get both. They get clean water, healthy life, and they get eternal life. Can't get any better than that. So good. As we come and we bring the filters, we have a huge opportunity for the gospel. And we're able to share with them. We're able to pray with them. Usually, we'll have a service in that community. Like in this community in November, 90 filters, 90 houses. They all come together. We have a church worship. We share the gospel. We pray for special needs. The Holy Spirit come, and he does what he does best. And a lot of people get saved. So just like in Jesus' time, you know, when Jesus went to communities and the things he did got the attention of the people. When we come into a community with water filter and clean water, we get immediately the attention of the people. And the door to open the gospel is right open. Why do we do that? It's a difficult job going over there. I mean, it takes days to get to some of these places. And Pastor David is going to go see that, all that for himself this year. Why do we do that? It's difficult. It's challenging. And a lot of times we don't have all the resources we need. What is our motivation to get out there, to go to someone and pray for a sick person, to go and share the gospel, to be intentional about it? Because we're not always successful. We're not always going to overcome all the disease and the poverty. We do it. What is our motivation? You know, the key word in Psalm 67 is joy. It's praise. We do it out of a very grateful heart, because we did not and still do not deserve what Jesus did for us. It's so big, it's so amazing that we cannot contain ourselves but share. Let that leak from us to others so that they can experience the same. It's joy. And what is our consolation? Our consolation is that one day, that's the last verse I'm going to share with you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, has blessed us. One day, we're going to be able to experience that fully, completely. The new heaven and the new earth. The time when God will restore everything, make everything new. And that's our consolation. Because one day, we are going to overcome every poverty. We are going to overcome every disease. And as a sign of this kingdom to come, we press forward. We move towards those who are far away from the grace of God. We invite them to come in, and we also invite them to go with us and continue to further the kingdom. And I would like to encourage you this morning, if you have not already embraced your God-given mission, if you're not really living as a missionary on your daily basis, I would like to encourage you to stop being stubborn and be obedient. There is such a blessing. And I'm going to tell you this. God is inviting us to such an amazing adventure that you don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out. Thank you, Pastor Dave.
I want you to everybody stand up. So, Elba, really, I can just feel the passion here, and I don't know. I'm almost shaking inside. This is like, I'm getting words like this is a new beginning. This is a real. I think of Paul in the Book of Acts when he was doing missionary work, and it's so interesting because it says at one point he was trying to go north, and it said the Spirit stopped him. And then had a dream one night, and in the dream, a man said, "Come over here." And so this is kind of what we've just gone through. You know, should we go here? Should we go here? And then through prayer, it's like the Spirit said, "No, go over here. Go to Brazil." And just hearing you, I'm inspired. We are on target. This is really, really going to be an exciting adventure. And I agree with you, Elba. You don't want to miss out on the adventures of God. God, you know, this thing that's been going on in my mind for the past couple of weeks is something like this. God has a job for every one of us to do. Every one of us. He has a job. He really does. And you don't want to go through life saying, "I wish I knew." You know, he'll show you. And here's one way he's showing you. Here's an opportunity. This really may be for you. So do me a favor, Elba. Let's just pray. And then just pray for the church. And then we'll take our offering. We'll have some time of worship. And then after the worship, we'll have some time for ministry. Does that sound good?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, you're here. Your presence is so real. Would you fall upon us? Would you awaken our hearts? Would you light a fire again? Light a fire, Lord. I pray that for each and every heart here tonight, that we can just put down all of our excuses. And we just say, "Yes, my Lord, here am I. Use me however, spend me however you wish. I am yours. I have no rights, only responsibilities. Because you've rescued me. I am yours. Bless your church, Lord. I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit will fall on you, waken your hearts, and a new passion, a new beginning, as we're starting this new year, in Jesus' name."
Thanks, Elba. Appreciate it. Can we have our ushers come up? We'll take our offering. Just stay in the presence of the Holy Spirit here. We do lift your name up, Jesus. There's no other name under heaven, God, whereby men can be saved other than the name of Jesus. Just welcome your presence, Holy Spirit. We have our prayer team up front here. A couple of words stirring in my heart. I was just asking God if he wanted to bring some healing today, and I got a couple of words. If this applies to you, I just feel like the Holy Spirit's saying he wants to heal this part of your body. But I got something about the right shoulder, somebody having trouble with the right shoulder, and then also arthritis or something with your hands, arthritic, something in the hands. So if I'm speaking to you as we get ready to close with our last song, we want to pray for you for healing. But also a couple of other things. When Elba shared this thing about people say, can't remember exactly how you said it, but my work's taking all of my time. And then she said, "Well, then who are you serving?" I don't know about you, but I felt like a shudder inside of me, like, man, that's a heavy thing to say. But I believe that was the Holy Spirit. And I really believe there are some of us here today that may be struggling with our jobs. Not really sure if you're being harassed because of your faith, if you're just feeling like you don't have the opportunity, or if you really feel like your job is consuming your life. That is not right. That's not right. That's not God's will for you. So we want to pray for you this morning if you're in a tough situation at work. And I also got this thing about courage, that God wants to raise up some courage to drive out this timidity, that just God's people too timid. We have the best news in the world, that God may awaken some courage, that we could be the light at work. So if any of those apply to you as we close with our last song, we invite you to come forward. Elba?
I just felt like the Lord's calling some people to trust. You're really struggling in an area of your life to trust God. And the word I felt the Lord saying to you is, I got your back. I have you. You can let it go. So I don't know for who is that word, but I just felt like the Lord wanted to say that to someone here.
All right, we're going to close with our last song. If any of those words apply to you, we invite you to come forward for prayer. If you need prayer for anything else, this is an opportunity to just be open to ministry, personal ministry with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. sing This Is Amazing Grace just one more time before we leave this morning.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name. Well, that concludes our service. Thank you so much for coming out. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week.